Let's say you want to lose weight. To most of us, that really means losing fat. You are sure you know what the conventional wisdom is. Meat and fat in moderation and load up on grains and fruits and vegetables and use polyunsaturated oils. You check Google to see what content is there, you know, just to support yourself. Do you eat butter? Do you eat butter because it's at least it's natural compared to margarine, but you feel like you probably shouldn't? Would you believe that food is subject to propaganda too? Who can you trust to tell you the truth about what you eat? The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 279, Food and Freedom, once a week for life. Hello folks, Dan Reed here. Welcome back to the show. I have been a chef and a baker in my professional cooking life. Now I'm a dad and a food writer and a podcast host with a strong sense of curiosity about what I eat and what I feed my family. For years and years, I used butter for butter sauces and cooking and baking and never really thought too much about it. Butter makes everything better, so use more, right? Well, of course, butter is the topic for today, and that opens the doors to many other issues. Calories, saturated fat, low cholesterol, particularly LDL cholesterol, heart disease, diabetes. I'll cover calories and cholesterol and saturated fats, but I'm not going to really touch heart disease and diabetes in this episode. I kind of touched it before. Those heart disease and diabetes, major diseases in the U.S. are caused in part by poor diet, which doesn't include butter. The first place to start is to know what butter is. Butter is the butter fat molecules from a cow's milk. Butter fat is agitated. No, not like your Aunt Sally does to you, churned or in some other way acted upon to cause the butterfat molecules to coagulate and stick together. As they grow into larger and larger bits of butterfat, the emulsion they are in breaks down and we see water and then we see the globs of butter. Now, if you didn't, that's a lot of science technobabble sort of stuff. Heavy cream is an emulsion. There's more stuff in it, but fundamentally it's water and fat. And if you've ever made whipped cream and made whipped cream too much, you've made butter. And then what's left in there is water and casein and protein and other stuff. But so the little churning device, that's how they made butter. So butter making, as far as the heavy cream is concerned, is a one-way street. It's kind of like cooking. Once you gather all those butter molecules together and they form bigger clumps of butter molecules and then lumps and the water comes out, then that's it. You can't put it back how it was. So that yellowish blob is butter. Now, it's not pure fat. Oddly, so you have this liquid, you pull butter out of it, and still inside the butter there's liquid. It's kind of interesting. Butter is about 75 to 80% butter fat, depending on the maker, depending on several processes. Pastry chefs and bakers want a higher butter fat content, and the way you know that by looking at the label is if it says 12% or in that happy rare occasion it says 13% fat on the package, on the nutrition label, then that's the higher butter fat. And oh man, make some croissants with that stuff. So the rest of that 15 to 25% is milk solids and water and casein and a few other things. Clarified butter is pure butter fat. Clarified butter is very similar to the Indian product called ghee, G-H-E-E. You can buy it. They can it commercially, so the heat process it commercially, so you can buy it as shelf-stable. Clarified butter is mostly shelf-stable too, but if you don't use it often, I would keep it in the cooler. In a commercial kitchen, butter and clarified butter are for two distinct purposes because they are two distinct products. Whole butter is used for baking and pastry work. Whole butter does have use on the hotline to either finish sauces or in some cases make them like beurre blancs or browned butter, beurre noisette, or if you're a Steve Martin fan, beurre noir. And then also to add butter to vegetables because vegetables love butter. Clarified butter is for making hollandaise and sautéing meats and veg. It's expensive because butter isn't cheap, but clarified butter is a pretty good all-around oil for sautéing. I wouldn't recommend it for stir fries. Definitely has a flavor, but it's a good flavor. The chief reason we would use clarified butter over sautéing is it has a higher smoke point. Where whole butter has a very low smoke point and the milk solids and stuff will start to caramelize. So that's what happens when you make brown butter or beurre noir or beurre noisette. It's beurre noisette. Noisette is the word for hazelnuts. It smells like toasted hazelnuts. It tastes divine. It goes great on lots and lots of things. But because that happens at a low temperature, you can't get a good sear on something without that those little brown bits turning into black bits, and then, well, nobody wants that. So that's a fast summary of what butter is and how to use it. What about eating it? We Americans have been beaten about the proverbial head and shoulders about avoiding butter. Eat vegetable oil instead. I remember my mom buying squeeze parquet. Ugh. What an invention! Already liquid, scare quotes, butter that you can just point and squeeze where you want it. Now, part of the discussion between animal fats and seed oils is how they are produced. Butter is pretty easy to make and anyone can do it. Soybean oil or canola oil takes machinery, hexane, a special kind of soap to clean the oil, and then there's the purification process with more machinery. On the Toxic Free Future website, they offer this about hexane. Quote, easily inhaled or absorbed through the skin, hexane has been recognized for more than 40 years to cause long-lasting and even permanent nerve damage in feet, legs, hands, and arms, end quote. Seed oil producers insist, now, I can't say that they're wrong, that hexane is removed from the final product. OpenAccessPub.com writes that, quote, a trace amount of hexane may be found in the final product, end quote. When you consider that seed oils may already be rancid in the container, there are more than a few reasons to avoid eating them. So if seed oils are so bad and the process can't guarantee purity, why are they pushed so hard for Americans to eat? Well, the short answer is that's another show. Briefly, between lobbying efforts to push so-called vegetable oils and Ansel Keys' popular and flawed research that animal fats are unhealthy, the U.S. has been pushing the seed oil claims pushing the seed oils, claiming them to be healthier than animal fats. Boy, that's tough for me to say. Now, that brings up another question. What is healthy? It sounds very important, so we should be able to say very plainly what healthy means and what it is. The answer to that depends on which political side of the food fence you're on. Carnivores, keto, and paleo folk are for animal fats. Vegetarians are a mixed lot who seem to tend toward seed oils as a group, not to a person. Vegans don't eat animal fats. That is not, of course, an answer to what is healthy. Healthy foods should improve the health of the person eating them. Sounds reasonable, right? It seems, at least to me, very reasonable. And now we really get to the messy part of the issue with the simple question, which was already asked, what is healthy? I asked Google what healthy food means. It gave a website with an impressive answer. Healthy food is food that gives you all the nutrients you need to stay healthy, feel well, and have plenty of energy, end quote. Now that comes off of the safefood.net page. That line was on the search results page. You know how you get just a little snippet of the page? I clicked the link, and the impressiveness disappeared. What I found was the standard narrative, and it is a narrative. Eat lots of fruits and vegetables and grains, lean protein a couple of times a week, and vegetable oils. Animal fats have cholesterol. This was a simple question about one simple ingredient. Repeat a lie often enough, and it becomes the truth. That's attributed to Joseph Goebbels. It may as well be the marching orders for governments and their agencies, and pretty much everything, but we're focusing on food. What is it about butter that makes it better than margarine? That's a question we can answer. To do so, we'll start with a podcast from Nourishing Traditions, which is the podcast put out by the Weston A. Price Foundation. Sally Fallon Morrell is the guest, which is, and she's also the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and she's written a couple of books that are worth owning. There will be a link to the podcast on the show notes page in this text. Sally explains that animal fats were demonized. Butter got extra special treatment, which including shaming housewives and moms who cooked with butter and not the new modern shortening Crisco. Butter advocates like Sally point out that before the invention and widespread use of Crisco, heart disease and obesity were almost non-existent. Since the move to processed fats and foods, the health and wellness of Americans has seen a pretty steady downturn up through the 1980s. Critics will point out that there are loads of changes in lifestyle from 1880 to 1980. That's true. Another common and increasing thread was the production and consumption of processed foods. The more food manufacturers, think about that phrase, food manufacturers, innovated and invented foods, scare quote, that didn't exist in nature, the more Americans got fat and sick. Butter is a natural food. Butter is a natural product of cows and goats, but we're talking about cows. But I think it's probably the same. I didn't check. It's healthy, and here's why. Butterfat has butyric acid. Butter also is a source of vitamins A, D, and K, which are fat-soluble vitamins. Fat-soluble vitamins are stored in the body's fat and liver. There's a very good chance you've never heard of vitamin K. It's worth learning about. I'm going to get to that. A bit more about fat-soluble vitamins from the Weston A. Price website. Quote, these fat-soluble vitamins are all necessary for hormone production, normal growth, neurological function, and protection against chronic disease such as cancer and heart disease, end quote. Let's focus on that last one just a second. Heart disease is a pretty major issue for men and women in the U.S., probably worldwide, but I think for sure in the U.S. Fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and K, easily found in butter, are protection against heart disease. Well, why do you think they don't want you to know that? Butyric acid is a short-chain fatty acid, science geek stuff, that helps in the gut microbiome. Now, we've covered the gut microbiome at least once, which isn't enough. Butyric acid can also be made in the body when grains and high-fiber foods are fermented in the body, in the colon, which creates this acid. Butyric acid is energy for the cells in the colon and aids in digestion, improves the gut and intestines, and calms inflammation. Butyric acid can be made in the body, yet none of that process creates more than 4% of butyric acid found per portion in butter. That's a lot of numbers and a lot of stuff. So of the sources of butyric acid, and I think I'm right about this, butter is the best source of that particular acid. And there's a bunch of other ones, and I think I saw something to the tune of hundreds of different kinds of fat compounds that are in butter that are beneficial to humans. One big issue used against animal fats is that they are saturated fats. They are saturated with hydrogen atoms. All right, so it's going to get science geeky again. This is a woefully crude illustration, but I think it works. Imagine your shower curtain. At the top are little eyelets for shower curtain hooks. When all the hooks are in an eyelet, the shower curtain is saturated with curtain hooks. Remove one hook, and now the shower curtain is monounsaturated. Remove two or more, and it's a polyunsaturated shower curtain. Turn a shower curtain into a long chain of carbon atoms, and if at every place a hydrogen atom can attach, one is attached, that's a saturated fat. Okay, big deal. It's saturated with hydrogen. So what? That means at least as it remains solid at room temperature. Well, okay, that's handy, but why do I care? Quote, saturated fats play essential structural roles in the body, and specific saturated fatty acids have specific benefits to energy metabolism, immunity, intestinal health, and metabolic health, end quote. That's from a page on the Weston A. Price website. And I've already mentioned that the text from this show will be on the show notes page with all of these links there. You can go jump in. The rabbit hole is vast. I'm talking watership down vast. I encourage you to come in. Not only for the saturated fats, but also cholesterol and calories. Cholesterol could be half a dozen shows. It's not going to be, but it could be. Cholesterol is a natural fat made by the human body. The body makes it because the body needs it. As in, it's vital. It is vital for the function of the brain and the nervous system. Cholesterol is a powerful antioxidant, and cholesterol, particularly the so-called bad LDL, helps fight infections. It's almost as if they want you to lower your bad cholesterol so you can get sick, and then they can push pills onto you. Nah, that can't be. That's crazy talk. There's far too much about cholesterol to cover here. I'll add this relevant piece about LDL, since it is the thing often mentioned as the bad one. I like saying that. So remember, bad, so you have to reduce it and then get sick. Nina Teicholz, author of The Big Fat Lie and owner of, or at least editor of, I think owner of the Nutrition Coalition website, offers this about LDL cholesterol in reference to the, I think, most recent USDA dietary guidelines. You know, my plate. Quote, LDL cholesterol is especially unreliable in trials involving saturated fats, since it has been known for years that LDL comes in different particle sizes, and that saturated fats increase only the kind of LDL particle that is associated with less cardiovascular risk. End quote. So there was a couple things there. One of them was that LDL comes in different particle sizes. Now, if you've ever had a cholesterol test, and I had one, well, geez, it's been a long time. I don't remember my doctor mentioning that there's LDL and HDL, and by the way, the LDL has a variety of sizes of particles, and we don't really know what sizes of particles we're measuring. But here's your number. And the other thing was that the particular one that she's referring to associated with less cardiovascular risk. Well, they're certainly not going to tell you that, are they? So there's one last food issue with butter, and that's calories. Calories are not, in my opinion, of particular concern on any given day. The magic number of 2,000 calories is pretty hard for me to do, and I check it with a chronometer. What never seems to be discussed is the source of calories. A packet of sugar has 16 calories. If you eat 125 packets of sugar, you will hit your 2,000 calorie limit. The probability is high that everyone agrees that's a stupid way to get 2,000 calories. Any conversation about calories has to start with the source of those calories. One serving of butter is a tablespoon. That has 100 calories. The ingredients are pasteurized cream, lactic acid, and it does contain some milk. Strawberry banana Cheerios has 240 calories per serving with one cup serving with 3/4 of a cup of skim milk. No butterfat for you. The ingredients are whole grain oats, sugar, corn syrup, banana puree, cornstarch, strawberry puree, canola and or sunflower oil, and stuff I can't pronounce. From a numbers standpoint, 100 to 240, that's a simple choice. From an ingredient standpoint, as long as you know what you're eating, that's also an easy choice. Seed oils cause harm. I don't think there's an upside for humans to consume seed oils. If you read the list correctly, it is sugar, 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 and sugar, and seed oil, and stuff. In the right light, calories alone is not a useful metric. Why is 2,000 calories the magic number? Well, that's a good question and one for another show. We've come a long way from the humble stick of butter. We're almost done. The last point isn't about butter, but about the politics around butter and food in general. Now, I did an episode on the Great Food Transformation, which involves the World Health Organization, think Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, think Bill Gates, and the United Nations, and hundreds of corporate food sponsors all agreeing that animal sources of foods are bad for the planet and they're bad for you. EAT, part of the weeds get deep fast here. EAT has partnered with Lancet, the English medical journal, Oxford and Harvard to push the vegan agenda. Now, there's actually two agendas here. There's pushing the vegan agenda and also pushing the no meat agenda. If there is cash to be earned, banning something or promoting something, you can be sure there's a lobby for it, and that lobby is talking to Congress about it. For the last 60 years or so, there's been a very effective fear campaign against meat and butter. It continues with renewed vigor and massive piles of cash for the campaigns. If you're on X at all, it's very hard to miss all the go vegan stuff. It's not an accident. Push, though they do, they can't change the truth that meat and butter are healthy. That means they contribute to the health and wellness of the person eating it by providing energy, calories, vitamins and minerals, and essential protein and fat. Essential protein is the essential amino acids. There are some inessential amino acids, but you kind of need them too, but you really need the essential ones. And you need fat. And the frustration is massive. Some of you might be old enough to remember when Snackwells came out. And the women were particularly thrilled that this cookie came out that had no fat. Well, this is fabulous. I can eat all the cookies I want and I won't get fat. Guess what? Nope. They actually got fatter. Why? Because if you take out fat, fat is flavor. Fat tastes good. Yum, yum, yum. Give me more. So take out the fat from a cookie. What are you left with? You're left with sawdust. Well, let's add sugar to it. Still no fat. Oh, that's a genius idea, Frank. You get to come back to work next week. So that's what they did. And anyway, to borrow from the 1970s TV show, your mission is to eat more butter. Okay, folks, that's going to do it. It's a huge topic and perhaps one that I will revisit, but it was worth at least getting out a little bit that butter isn't the enemy. Sugar's the enemy. Grains are the enemy. Butter's not the enemy. As I said in the text several times, the show notes will have the text of this with the links to those various things, and come on in, the water's fine. That, by the way, is culinarylibertarian.com/279. Regular listeners to the show will have noticed, that I've been on and off for the last few episodes. We had some pretty aggravating modem/router issues that seemed to be fixed. Very little was working as it ought, and that makes it hard to do a show on a web-based recording platform when you can't actually get to the web-based recording platform. Everything should be back to normal now. You can also cook with butter to make sure that you are getting enough. The recipes in my cookbook, Cooking for Comfort, which is available on Amazon, will help you get your butter consumption up. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.